are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is my interview with the director for In the Land of Saints and Sinners, Robert Lorenz.
My girl, don't lie to me. Finbar Murphy.
I'd have something else for you in a week or so.
I've been thinking. Been a lifetime of poor choices I've made.
How many people have you killed altogether?
There's more to me than this. I'd like folks to see it.
Hello, Robert. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Next Best Picture podcast to talk about your film In the Land of Saints and Sinners, a movie that I've been anxiously awaiting to watch since its world premiere at the 80th Venice International Film Festival last year. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Good. Awesome. So the first thing I noticed with this project is that it was your first feature directorial effort post-pandemic. The Marksman was shot prior to the world shutting down. So I'm imagining this had to have been shot during COVID. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes. Yeah, it was, we were all wearing masks and, which was made it a little bit awkward. And we were out in the middle of, nowhere. We didn't have a normal catering. We all got brought these little lunches that we had to eat out of a bowl, but we made it through.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It kind of lends itself in a way too, though, because you're shooting on this beautiful, vast, scenic landscape of Ireland, and it looks amazing the way you captured it here in this film. Can you tell me a little bit about just how that environment acts as its own character and how it informs the other characters in this film?
Yeah, well, actually, that area of Ireland, it's Donegal, is referred to in the script as a forgotten county, and that's because historically, it's a very remote area that not a lot of people travel to in Ireland, and it's where people went to hide, you know, criminals and anybody that just wanted to get away from the rest of the world ended up in this space. And in fact, I came across, while I was shooting there, I had done some research and I read about this guy who was an IRA informant, and he was hiding out there and he got murdered by his colleagues when they discovered that he had betrayed them. And one day I came across this house and I was like, God, that looks like that house I read about. And sure enough, somebody, a local, came up to me and said, oh, yeah, that's where that guy was killed. So this whole area was really where people went to hide out. And so that's kind of, I think it inspired the writer for the story. And it's where Liam's character goes to get away. And it's where the IRA criminals go to hide out. So it's kind of all worked for the story.
And you have a Irish cast. You must have had, I imagine, also an Irish crew working on this as well. So I imagine for the cast, that must have been really nice for them to have to interact on a day-to-day basis with the locals as the film crew on this project. That must have been great.
Yeah, it was. I was very intent on casting only Irish actors because I wanted it to feel as authentic as possible. I have Irish heritage, but I'm not actually, I haven't lived in Ireland.
I have a wee little bit too, like very, very, like it's like less than 40%, but yeah, it's not the predominant. Okay. Yeah, I feel you. So I never refer to myself as Irish because of that.
I'm an O'Callaghan. My mom is an O'Callaghan, and half of my heritage.
Yeah.
But I wanted authentic Irish accents. I wasn't going to be able to learn in a short amount of time how to discern a different accent. So I wanted the real deal. And we put together an Irish crew because I wanted their input in terms of the look and everything. And just tried to make the whole picture seem as authentic as possible.
And it has to be, too, because it's a very grounded story. That was one of the things that I remember hearing about when it had its world premiere at Venice was, oh, this is not necessarily like Liam Neeson in pure like Hollywood blockbuster action mode. This is a very grounded, very real story about people going through emotions that are extremely relatable to resorting to acts of violence to get out of certain situations, both situations that they have put themselves in and also found themselves in. So I was wondering, too, just with regards to Liam, you guys worked together on The Marksman, but your previous film before that, Trouble with the Curve, was, I believe, 9 years or so prior to that collaboration. Has your work with him kind of like lit a bit of a spark that there was such a shorter gap then between The Marksman and In the Land of Saints and Sinners, or were you just keeping yourself busy with other projects?
Yeah, I was just busy. I love directing, and I never intended to produce for as long as I did with Clint, but you know, it was kind of such a fortunate opportunity that I couldn't really say no.
No, right? How do you say no to Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, so I did that, and then it's kind of a long story, but I felt like I owed him another movie after what. If you want to hear the whole story, I was set to produce A Star Is Born when Clint was going to direct it. And then that went away when Beyonce was going to start it, and she got ill. She had children. She was pregnant, so we couldn't shoot that movie. So he said, well, why don't we do this movie, Trouble with the Curve, and you direct it. And so then I felt like I owed him another movie after that. So I ended up being with him to produce a few more movies. And then I finally said after American Sniper, that's it. I really need to go and direct my own movies because I'm getting old and I'm never going to do it if I don't do it now. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
But you and Liam know, working together again, I imagine that there must be some creative spark there. What is that working relationship like now, two films back to back?
Liam is terrific. I so enjoy working with him. He's such a pro. And we had such a good time together on Marksman that when we finished that, we both said, hey, let's find something else to do. He actually read In the Land of Saints and Sinners before me. And he suggested me to the producers as the director. So that's how I got involved. And I loved the script. I thought it was terrific. So I said, yeah, absolutely. I you know, if it hadn't been for him, I think would have thought of me to direct a movie that's all based in Ireland. But I love doing it because I love stories that really take you into another world and you can escape into this different place that you're unfamiliar with and kind of soak it in. So I was really keen on doing that.
To all of our listeners of the Next Best Picture podcast, we know you love movies. We do too. Do you like going to the theater? Well, Regal Unlimited just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just 2 visits. See any standard 2D movie anytime with no blackout dates or restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in a premium format like 4DX, IMAX, RPX, or ScreenX, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you won't just save money on tickets, you'll also save on snacks. Members get 10% off on all non-alcoholic concession items. So if you're planning to see 2 movies this month, just 2, you need to join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. That's regmovies.com/limited. And you can tell them Next Best Picture sent you with the promo code /RegalNBP24. That's /RegalNBP24.
And you lucked out too, I think, with just the surge that Kerry Condon had following the Banshees of Inisherin as well. So her name being tied to this drew, I think, some additional eyeballs as well. It's funny, I've always noticed her in projects, but she was never given a standout role to really show what she could do. And now she has done that with both Banshees and I think with this film too. Like, she's just a force in this movie. Yeah. Can you tell me just what she was able to bring to this character? Because I can tell that she just finds a way to really sink her teeth into any role that she's given when given this opportunity.
Yeah, she's just a magnificent actor and actress. I was so thrilled to get her for the part. When we started it, Banshees hadn't come out yet, and I got a lot of pushback from people that said, "Who is this person?" I said, "Trust me, she's great." And so we kind of went down a path with other actors for a little while, but finally we got back to her, which I was really thrilled to get back to, and she was keen to do it. But yeah, I think she's just a terrific actress. I really wanted somebody with fire and energy, and somebody that you could believe could be a real opposing force to Liam, who's such a tall, intimidating figure. Mm-hmm. And so it had to be somebody that had some real power, and she has that.
Absolutely, she does. I definitely agree with that. And Kieran Hines and Liam Neeson, I know, go way, way back. So casting them as buddies with a history, not much work needs to be done there necessarily.
No, that was terrific. I mean, Liam had shared it with him, and he wanted to do it. And they, so that was such, I was so fortunate. I mean, the whole cast, I was feel very, very fortunate to have gotten for the movie. But Kieran he's just such a wonderful guy, and you can kind of feel their real relationship in the movie. You know, they really do like friends.
There's a real like warmth and humanity that he brings to it. I think like for Liam Neeson's character, Finbar, you know, you're really trying to sift through this moral decay. I mean, it's not even so much, it's already decayed, I think, at this point, but there is still a man who cares about the people who he cares about. And that's something that, you know, in any crime film, a lot of times we empathize and latch on to these, we want to say morally gray, but let's face it, these are bad guys who have done terrible things, but there's still humanity there.
Yeah. I was inspired by, Unforgiven, because, I remembered that, you know, there's definitely Western theme in this movie mm-hmm. as well. And, that character in Unforgiven, William Money, that Clint plays, he's a pretty despicable guy. He's known as a killer of women and children. And but he's doing it because he needs to provide for his kids. And he's failed as a farmer. And the only thing he knows how to do is kill people. And so he's going to go do that to make money to support his children. So there's sort of a moral code that he's living by there. You know, it's very unique to him, and that's what I really embraced for this movie. Each of the people in this movie has their own justification for what they're doing. Carrie Condon's character, is she believes in a free Ireland, and so she, you know, even if some people get killed along the way, that's what she's set out to do. And Liam, he wants to protect his friends. So everybody has their own reason for doing what they do.
Sure. You talked about some Western influences. I mean, you know, you got the final shootout that takes place in a saloon, if you will. And so I'm curious, when it comes to a scene like that, obviously there's so many elements that one has to consider, from safety, practical effects, stunt people, the sound work, you know, there's so much at play. What would you say is the single most important element to getting a shootout scene right?
For me personally, I have to see it all in my head beforehand. I really,
so the blocking,
every angle, and, you know, normally when you shoot, if you have the luxury, you can set up cameras and do, you know, a master here and then a reverse master here and then go in for coverage. I didn't really have that luxury because we had to shoot so fast. And I basically was shooting shot by shot by shot in my head. I knew, okay, next I need this cut, next and this cut, next I need this cut. So I just kind of shot the whole sequence. But I had it all pre-planned in my head. I could see it all before I did it. So that's just being prepared. I mean, if you go into a shootout sequence and you're just going to kind of put up some cameras and hope to catch it, I don't think it's going to be as effective as if you really plan where the shots are going to be.
Prior planning prevents poor performance, am I right?
Correct, yes.
One member of the cast who I cannot believe I failed to mention him before, but I think I was just segueing, Jack. Okay. as a massive Game of Thrones fan watching this kid on screen all those years ago. He then says he's retiring from acting. He's pursuing other interests. Good for him. When did you catch him? How did you catch him? Was he interested in coming back? Like, how did he come aboard this?
He came in and read. I mean, that particular role, there were so many young actors that wanted that part. A lot of really great auditions that I saw. But his just popped. It just stood out amongst all the others. And I said, that is the guy. He's got that lovable craziness, you know? You believe that he could be so crazy as to do the things he has to do in this movie, and yet you still like him. And that's what I wanted for this part, because you have to believe that Liam's character wants to help this guy see another path and so forth.
I remember he had the reputation on Thrones as being the nicest guy on set, despite the despicable character he was playing. And I assume age has not changed that. He's still the same as he was when he was a kid in that regard.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Just everybody on the crew was just terrific. Crewing cast, just a real pleasure to work with all these people.
Well, happy to have him back either way. Yeah. Has Clint seen the film yet?
I don't know. It's a good question. I haven't brought it up to him. He's living up, you know, in Carmel, and I haven't been up there lately. I talked to him not that long ago, but I didn't send it to him. Maybe I should.
Is he the person whose opinion you value the most when it comes to your work?
Yeah. I mean, I like to get input from all my friends and so, but yeah, I mean, there's nobody that knows as much about movie making as Clint. And I learned so much from him along the way. He's forgotten more than I'll ever know. So, you know, it's just, it was always just such a terrific experience just to be around him and be able to soak that in and learn from him. And I've adopted so many of his technique, so much of his technique, without even kind of being conscious of it. But it's been very helpful to me as a director.
And you've worked with Tom Stern, too, his signature DP, on two of your films so far, yeah, as well, which I assume also helps. You obviously also had a prior working relationship. It must all, like, you know, feed in into this nice ecosystem of comfortability for you, I imagine.
Yeah, it's always a chore when you're studying a movie to sort of ramp up and get to know people and build trust and figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are and what you can count on them for. So when you can work with somebody that you've been working with for a long time, all that is behind you and you just go to work. So
yeah,
really terrific.
So what's next at this point for you? Are you writing the next one? Are you on the lookout for other scripts? Are you already in production? Where are you at right now?
Yeah, I've got several movies in development. I've written two scripts that are both we're working on right now. In fact, as soon as I hang up, I'm going to get back to work on that one.
Nice.
And then another script that I am attached to direct. So we'll see which one comes together first. It's kind of a strange time in the business right now with another potential strike, and everybody's kind of moving cautiously. It's kind of unfortunate. Now I like to get going.
Do you want to stay within the Liam Neeson with a gun genre, or are you looking to tackle anything in particular?
No, I mean, Liam and I have talked. We'd love to work together again, and we may do that again. But all three of these projects that I'm working on would not include him.
Okay.
So moving different directions.
All right. Well, hey, we like the unpredictability and the versatility. So, Robert, thank you so much for your time today. Really, really appreciate it. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you very much. Pleasure talking to you.
You too. Take care. Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to my interview with the director for In the Land of Saints and Sinners, Robert Lorenz, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. In the Land of Saints and Sinners is now currently playing in theaters. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book. And together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.